Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. Back-to-back nights for podcast releases. Haven't done that in a while, but we're here to preview the girls' season for 2024. And we said last week on our story, we're just going to wait until this week because there's only the one game last week and it just felt a little weird. The timing of it is all a little bit weird with the girls' season, but going to go through every team, give a bit of our predictions, who we think will be the top players and top prospects as the year tracks along. But let's get stuck into GWV and Geelong from last week, and we'll obviously just touch on those two teams, and I guess we get a good head start with both of those girls' teams. And we'll start with the Falcons, who got up 55-29. You caught this whole game.
I did.
And I caught the back half of this game, and Geelong looked the goods for the first half, got out to, well, they kicked the first five goals, and then the Rebels did come back, and don't think they got close enough, but they definitely did mount a bit of a comeback at points throughout. But I'll throw to you. We'll start with Geelong.
Yeah.
Who were your standouts?
Yeah. My standouts were from a Geelong point of view. I mean, you're always going to look at Sarah Howley. She picked up where she left off last year, getting the 33 disposals. So it was just more of the same from her. She looks like she's perhaps a little bit stronger over the footy as well. Naturally, she's obviously improved her leadership over preseason as well. I know that's something you spoke to her about when we went out and spoke to the Falcons girls, but her footy looks like it's naturally taken that next step and certainly has picked up where it's left off. I thought Sasha White was really good as well. She's the Geelong Falcons vice captain and plays a high half forward type role. She looked really dangerous when she was in space. Her ability to use the footy going forward really impressed me. And I think the biggest story of the night from a Geelong Falcons perspective and probably from either of the teams was the way Kiara Woods was able to return from injury. So had a long-term injury layoff last year. It was an ankle concern which was hindering her. So she showed some really promising form at the start of 2023, then didn't play after about round four. Kept getting delayed in terms of her return. She's put in all the hard work, no doubt had a really long and of pre-season where she's put in a lot of effort, and she looked really likely playing mostly inside 50 as that key target. She had five shots on goal, kicked a couple, and more importantly, she imposed herself on the contest aerially.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that, with her as well. She was probably up there for the best on ground for Geelong in the end in terms of the impact she made, as being able to hit the scoreboard as much as she did in her first game back and be that real marking target. She was just hard to play on, and I think we'll probably see her rotate through the ruck and full forward as the year goes on. But I certainly liked the way she played. I liked how Rebecca Clotty went about it as well. Probably the other one I'd bring up, a very aggressive player who you just know will take on any offensive type of opportunity through the middle of the ground. And I was pretty impressed with what I saw from her on the weekend.
Probably someone that, for those who are outside the Geelong Falcons system, aren't as aware of her and might have been a little bit surprised, given she did only play the one game at the back end of last year that got a Vic Country Summer Training Hub invite. But certainly she showed on the weekend the traits that have got AFLW clubs really keen to see her at a higher level. She's confident and she's really athletic. Like you said, she brings that tenacity to her game as well. She's got that flair of entertainment. I feel like at some point we're going to be really entertained with the game she puts together. She's got that ability to change a game. You talked about Kiara Woods before and the ability for her to rotate between ruck and full forward. Hayley Peck also played a reasonable game as a 19-year-old. That is a good one to build off for her, and certainly her and Kiara Woods, if we look at Geelong more broadly now before we go to GWV and sort of preview their season, I think the ruck is an area where Geelong is going to be really strong because of Kiara Woods and Hayley Peck, and we got a glimpse of that on Thursday night.
Yeah, certainly did, and it was good to see her. We'll see how she goes in terms of she's got to progress pretty quickly in terms of just building herself up as that top ager. I guess others for the Falcons, I guess we look forward to, and Mika Morrissey probably didn't have the impact she wanted on Thursday night, but we know she'll get around it. But she did get around it a little more in the second half and did build on a good built a good end to the game.
Yeah, and I think their speed is something which will entertain watchers throughout the year as well. They've got Caitlin Charles and Lucy Marishook, who, although although they didn't absolutely stand out, they both had their moments. They're both going to be flashy players, and they've both got traits that you're going to want to keep an eye on throughout the season. I think Chloe Bryant's going to get a real lick of the ice cream as well in the midfield this year. Obviously, Chloe Adams and Sarah Howley got all the accolades last year. Sarah Howley's still in there, but I think Chloe Bryant's going to form a really good combination with her.
Yeah, well, 5 inside 50s to that and 18 touches on Thursday night. So definitely put together a good 4 quarters. I'll ask this question with every team. Where do they finish? I'm going to say where do they finish in the country conference, because girls are split. I'll start. I think the country conference will be pretty similar to last year. I think they finish second.
I have them second in the country conference as well. Looking forward to seeing the Falcons throughout the year. We'll move on to GWV, who ultimately were out-pressured and outclassed, I suppose you'd say, on Friday night, on Thursday night. But I think what would be really pleasing for their coach, Sally Riley, and people around the club was their perseverance. You talk about putting in a four-quarter effort and actually representing the region with pride. I think they did that after what was a pretty concerning start. And I think someone who really ensured that they did that was Claire Marnie. She was the clear takeout of the night for the GWV Rebels. It was a statement game. It was a statement second half in particular, taking 7 marks. A few of those were contested. One of those was a massive contested mark from 4 or 5 deep in the pack, and she seemed to generate scoring opportunities from every single one of those marks. I think they Rebels were 3-1-19 at one stage, and she'd either kicked every goal or behind, or had a hand in it by setting it up or something along those lines. So a really, really strong start to the season for her up forward.
Yeah, well, I was blown away. That was just one of those games that gets you drafted, plain and simple. Like, it was just everything she'd clunk. Every time she touched it, it would lead to something pretty good.
Yep.
It was just one of those games you simply look at and you're like, yep, she's got draftable talent there, and it was all on display. One I'd like to bring up, and I know she's bottom age this year, but Jovie Skews Clinton.
Yeah.
Very much liked her game. Very silky mover, and I was quite impressed with the way she moved defensively. Just didn't panic, and when the Rebels were under a lot of pressure trying to get back into it, you had that stabilizer, and she was that. And I was pretty impressed with the way she went about it. I enjoy watching her as she progresses in the next 2 years.
And she has the strength as well, I think. Yep. So you think that's just going to develop as the years go on. And it's not as though she has the strength to the detriment of her silky moving, like you say. They complement each other really well. So really impressed with her. She was an under-16s Vic Country representative, and expect her to, if not represent Vic Country this year as a bottom major, then certainly have her name there or thereabouts next year if she can maintain that form. I thought another couple of players who are really important at resisting some forward press that Geelong were able to generate, particularly in the forward half, were Bella Davies, who worked really hard, and Millie Lang. Yep. We know how good she is as an interceptor. She did it again, and she was probably their best distributor out of the back half. She got a lot of the footy as well, so we know how well she positions herself, understands where the dangerous spots are, and puts herself in the hole, and is willing to put her body on the line. It was a really strong start to the season for Millie Lang.
Touch on Bella Davies, terrific athlete, so no surprise there in that translation. And Millie Lane, 11 rebound 50s. She led the league in rebound 50s last year, so what a cracking start. 31 touches to go along with it, and 5 inside 50s as well. So it's on both ends. Where do you think the Rebels finish up this year?
I think they finish in the country conference. I'd have them 4th. I think one other player I'd just like to touch on while we're talking about them and put them on the radar, we'll see how they go, is Scarlett O'Donnell, someone who's new to the system, that's had a really strong preseason. Showed a couple of glimpses on Thursday night, but obviously it's her first taste of the footy at the level. I think she'll be better for the run, and I think we can expect to see her play some really strong games this year. Whether she gets the Vic Country trial or not, I think she's got some really strong footy at VFLW level, at least in the future, if she wants to take that opportunity.
For sure. I'm going to have them at 4th or 5th. I'll say who my other team in that mix is as well. I think it's just depth for them. I think they'll struggle against the Metro teams and even the top country teams. They just probably lack that depth, which we saw on Thursday night. But they're competitive. They're definitely not just making up the numbers in that sense. So they'll be competitive.
Certainly are.
Let's stay on country.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. So let's stay on country. Let's go to the Dandenong Stingrays now. So they're a team that I think are viewed as a team that is going to take another step forward in what they did last year. They were a very organised unit last year, very cohesive. But what they did last year is they played a lot of bottom ages. So a lot of the team that lost in the preliminary final last year, I think 15 of which were bottom ages. So you look at that and you think another year of development, they're going to be really strong, they're going to have really good connection, they're going to be really hard to beat, and they've got some really good top end talent. Now they are going to be missing Ali Simons for the season. That's known due to a stress fracture in her leg, unfortunately. They're still going to have Zoe Basanko in the ruck though, so they're still going to be hard to beat in that area of the ground. And it's not just Zoe Basanko. You look at Gemma Reynolds. You're going to touch on some players, no doubt. You saw them play a pracking match. They've got Kayla Dalgleish as well. And Jemaya Brezen is one, probably seen as just a half a tier below those girls at the moment, but she can certainly push her way up. She works really hard and she's a really eye-catching player with the way she drives her legs.
Well, yeah, I'm going to touch on Dandenong and Eastern. So they played last Tuesday night down at Seaford. And I mean, I'm surprised you say that with Jemaya Brezen, because what I saw there, I'd arguably have her as best on ground, the way she moved the footy. It was her attack, the willingness not to, you know, kind of wait for the ball to come out of a stoppage, goes in straight for it, really good pressure player, so doesn't shy away from that, and just really good vision. As soon as she'll come out of the contest and, you know, around the opponent, it's all there for her, and she laces it out really well. Uses it so nicely, and I was extremely pleased to see that in her game. Yeah, Gemma Reynolds, similar player. Both of them actually complement each other really, really nicely, and just their ability to attack with poise and composure to assess the ground, and against a team like Eastern who don't really give you time on the ball as well, they did it really well. Zoe Basanko, her acceleration out of the contest really impressed me, and was lively when she went up forward as well. Probably didn't convert as much as she would have liked in the end. But, yeah, a lot to like with Dandy. And Kayla Dalgleish, loved her when I watched her last year against Easton in that first game. Great work ethic and hits the scoreboard as well. So I think she'll play a little more time on ball, and excited to see that with her footy.
A couple of girls who I wrote a story on for the Pakenham Gazette that there's a bit of excitement about as bottom ages are Nalu and Mizuki Brothwell, a couple of multicultural girls who played in the diversity match last year. They've both got class, they both read the footy well, and they've both got really good ball handling skills for girls who are new to the game. So generating a bit of internal talk there, those girls. A couple of younger ones to keep an eye on. We'll get a really good idea of where Dandenong are at in round one. They've got, round two, in fact, but their first game of the season is a really good litmus test against Oakley on Friday night at Shepley Oval. I think we both said last year when those two teams played, it was as good a girls' game as we saw all season. I've got Dandenong coming first in the country conference.
Yeah, I think they come first in country, and I do think they finish top four in everything as well. They should be up there, and they should be contending for the premiership, and that's the honest truth with them. They've got so close the last 2 years, but just haven't been able to get the ultimate goal. So, you know, it's same again for them, and I think they'll be up there contending. Let's go to Bendigo now, who, so obviously last year was tough for them, right? Like, just struggled with depth and numbers, and it had three drafted, so you cannot complain with that at all with Lila Keck and Steph Demiat. No, sorry, Killy Fullerton.
Yep, and Bridie O'Rourke.
Jesus, I just completely mind blanked there. But draftable talent again this year, I must say, with Lucia Painter, she'll lead the Pioneers. Jeez, it's late at night. She'll lead them. Terrific player. Loved her work ethic, and can't wait for her to start playing again this year. She'll captain them. So not to like with her. Jamaica Douglas, we know her story. She's moved down to Bendigo from Mildura for the season, and a big commitment, and it shows, and she'll play off that half-back flank or move into the middle of the ground. Excited to see her. And Lexi Gregor, she got into the Vic Country Hub to start this year. A lot of hype about her in terms of what she can provide, a lot of potential there. Exciting for Bendigo that they've got these prospects coming up each year again and again. I think they'll inevitably struggle again with those depth players in terms of competitiveness, but I think it's so good to see that they're creating the foundation that these girls, the girls that are just that tier below, know there's a possibility. They've got that top end talent that can always teach. So Yeah, I hope they go better than last year for sure.
Certainly those three girls that got drafted just dangles the carrot for those depth girls, yeah. Doesn't it? And certainly I think as the years go on, Bendigo will become better and better. I think the big thing for them this year is going to be their kicking efficiency and ensuring they can put it on the heads of some of the tall players they've got. You touched on a few there, but there's some others that they've got that we'll touch on throughout the season inevitably that are tall and can win a one-on-one contest. But being able to showcase that relies on the ball coming into their advantage. So that's something which is going to be really important for the midfielders and the half forwards to do. I have them coming fifth in the country conference and hope that those players you touch on can really develop.
Sasha Pierce, Gabby Drages, two others
yep.
talk about throughout the year. I have them coming sixth in the country conference.
Yep. Move on to
Dandenong.
We'll move on to the Gippsland Power now, and I'll open with the obvious question. What are you most excited about to watch from Ash Centra in 2024?
Wow. That's a tough question because she could do anything. I just want to see her inside forward 50 and like stay there for, you know, a half of football, and obviously realise Gippy's midfielders need to get it to her. But she's just puts on a clinic.
Yeah,
like there'll be a game she will kick four or five goals, and I hope I can say that on the record and it comes back and it's true. But she just has that wow factor where she assesses where she is and what's around her before she even picks it up. Throw that question to you.
Yeah, her contested marking for me, it can be anywhere on the ground and I'm going to love seeing it. I think that's the biggest thing I associate with her in the female space. The ability for her to take a contested mark is going to hold her team in really good stead, no doubt. She'll tear some games apart. I guess if there's one thing I really want to see from her as well, I'd love to get some vision of her and her defensive running. Like, it's very obvious what she does from an entertainment perspective, and we love watching it. You know, you could sit there all day and watch Gippy week after week just to watch Ash Centra. But if we could see what she does in terms of defensive running as well, I think that would be a real testament to what she can do if that part of her game is a strength as much as what her stuff she does with the ball, then it will be very hard to overlook her for the number one pick, even with some of the competition she has, not least from Sarah Howley, who we've already touched on. But to touch on some others from the Gippsland Power, Jazz Sowden is the obvious other one. She's in the Vic Country Hub as a top ager and is being touted as a possible first-round draft pick, a really hard-working midfielder who works hard defensively, is very good in the contest, understands where to position herself to be that link player, to be that player who gets the handball received, can use it well on the outside, is also able to win her own footy. I think she's a really perfectly rounded midfielder, works exceptionally hard off the field as well, and she's one that will be really crucial for them this season. And I guess their slew of bottom ages as well, your likes of Abby Hobson, who's really good inside 50 overhead, Alice Stoddart, who's excellent off half back. They both lead the 2007-born players who got exposure last season and will improve Gippsland from a competitiveness point of view just because of the game time they got and the responsibility they were given last season.
Where do they finish for you?
I think Gippsland finish, I said GWV would finish fourth. I said Bendigo would finish fifth. I guess that means Gippsland finished third.
I have them in that fourth, fifth conversation with Gippsland, and they built a really good team chemistry coming the end of last year.
Yeah, they did, and that's probably why I've got them a little bit higher in the country conference.
Yeah, interested to see where they end up. Move to Murray now, who, again, similar to Bendigo, that it's just the depth they struggle with, and that's where the competitiveness struggles with them in general. But a few girls to talk about here. Holly Egan, one that builds off confidence, a really good tactical ball mover. Ali Armstrong will be their main girl through the middle. Tamika Rourke, she'll be playing for the Allies this year. Is that mid-forward combination really powerful? And we know Murray have some good power forwards over in their boys, so obviously translates well up there. Madison Ibrahim, she's had a good, really good preseason, a resilient character. And Ellie Hall, she's recovering from an ACL, might see a bit of her in the back end of the year. I have Murray finishing last, but that's not out of any, you know, real disrespect to them. It's just the depth I think they'll struggle the most in the country region.
Yeah, I think they'll struggle a little bit as well. I'm looking forward to seeing Ali Hall. I think we see her for most of the season, if not all the season, actually. So I'm looking forward to seeing her this season. And, yeah, I do have them in the same position. Yeah, just down to depth. But I guess we'll see what they're able to do, and hopefully they are able to get some wins in terms of player development. I think that'd be a big thing for them. But that rounds out Tassie. No, it doesn't round out the country teams. I did forget about Tassie, yeah. Well, they're a bit of a wild card because I didn't consider them when I was considering my power rankings. But no, we do touch on Tassie. They've got a new coach and they've got a lot of talent that the coach has got to work with. So I think one thing from a Tasmania point of view that I'm really keen to see is Sophie Strong. She's one who I really liked last year. And I know they've got some others that are highly rated as well, but I think she's one that could really take the next step and close the gap with some of her more highly regarded teammates.
One I'd touch on is Ava Reid, who I loved watching from the start of last year, who plays well under her size, I reckon. Actually, she's tall, but she's not very built, and she takes a lot of good contested marks, a really good leading forward who just uses her patterns really well and gets in good spots. Strong burst out of the contest, really liked her footy. Lucy Thompson, another one, strong hands, really confident through the midfield, and she's good, just good generally with her ball use to help offensive transition. So, and another one I think to touch on, Meg Harrison, who had a really good back end to 2023, played a really good game out in Oakley when they played Gippsland last year. And that's kind of where she's built her footy off of since then. Terrific power out of the stoppage and just really good entry kicks. And then Mackenzie Williams, the last one to talk about in that conversation, really good rebounding defender, super classy ball mover.
Priya Bowring and Harriet Bingley, a couple of obvious bottom ages that we ought to touch on that got exposure last season and will be better for the run. Where do you see them finishing? We know Tassie play with a lot of pride, and they do it on both the boys and the girls' side in terms of their ability to stay competitive and stay in the fight. They're representing their state. That means a lot to them. How many wins do you see them having? How do you see them going?
Wins is hard to say. I haven't finished in third, but I haven't. That's why I said it's very similar to last year. Like, I have Dandenong, Geelong, Tassie, and one of Gympie or GWB, which is the exact same as last year. Yep. I just don't think the country region moves as much.
Yeah,
my metro's a little bit different, but I have them finishing third. They're always good. Like, just naturally, they're always good, and they don't lose in Tassie too often either.
No, they don't. It's a hard trip for teams to make. Not many of the girls are used to playing interstate. We'll move to the Sandringham Dragons now from the metro region. We'll kick it off there. And I think the big question that's on everyone's lips is Sophie Mackay. How does she go this year? How does she handle the expectation? And where does she take her footy? A smooth-moving midfielder, a powerful midfielder, and one who is a Carlton father-daughter prospect.
Yeah, well, the lookout for her this year is with her leadership. I think that's where her focus will be, because the talent is there naturally, and I don't, you know, she'll naturally get better, but she's one of those footballers that has grown up and just has it. So she knows where she's going in terms of AFLW team. This year's just about building, I think, that personal side for her, because she'll be one of their best every week. She'll be one that stands up. That's probably where I see her. You know, I think her best football will come out. And she's such a vocal character. You know, she's one the team clearly loves and gets around everyone. So I think you'll see that her best football will come out when that side of her comes out.
Certainly. And we should have touched on this earlier, but if you wanted a more in-depth rundown on all of these players, we did that a month or so ago. So we did it about the Vic Country girls and we did it about the Vic Metro girls. They're in separate podcasts. But I suppose the Sandringham Dragons have got some talent beyond Sophie Mackay. They've got Daisy Flockhart. You've talked about Kira Galaminda and Olive McLean at different stages as well. I guess if I was to ask you a question, what do they need to do to really maximise the talent of not only those girls but some others as well? They've got Mia Zielinski coming back. What do they do to maximise the talent and give them the best opportunity to get drafted?
Well, I'd scout Howden, Zari Mildenhall, Tiger Dolce to that list as well. Team chemistry needs to be high up, and we did see it at the end of last year. They beat Eastern, Oakley. Didn't beat Eastern, but they should have beaten Eastern, right?
Like,
once that team chemistry clicks, they'll do so well. You know, Kira Galminda's one who thrives off good inside 50 entries, and she's dangerous at the drop of the ball. Daisy Flockhart, Olive McLean, these are just good ball users in general, and I think they'll naturally see a lot of the football as it is. I think if they're able to just bond that team chemistry, and that's what we saw with Oakley last year and Easton, when that happens, we see how much better those top-end players are and how much opportunity they get, because someone like Alicia Pisano doesn't thrive unless that midfield group is doing what they do. So where do you have them finishing? Because I think it's going to be a completely different year for them.
I think Sandy are going to finish third.
So do I. I think defensively the gaps are still there a little bit, but I think the midfield is a lot stronger this year. Still have some good forward targets. So I think they can beat Oakley and Easton and Dandenong, though, on any given day.
But we move on to the Western Jets now, who probably don't have the strongest top-aged talent this year. They do have some girls coming through. They still have a couple of girls that were in the Vic Metro Summer Training Hub, perhaps don't have the depth of some of the other teams. So I guess, in short, I do have them coming sixth, but I do think there's still reason to be excited. I think Sierra Greaves is one who I'm particularly keen to see where she takes her footy this year, and they've got Lulu Field as well. So there's a couple of girls in the mix to keep an eye on from a Western Jets perspective.
Yeah, well, someone asked about Sierra Greaves on Instagram. Yeah, just becoming a real professional this year, and she'll build on that defensive accountability. Excited. And Lily Hudson, one who has come back into the program full-time, excited to see how her first couple of weeks are. And, yeah, I'd have to have them at the bottom, but, you know, not uncompetitive by any means. They're in the toughest conference. They're playing teams. They play most of these teams twice, so it is a pretty hard draw for them. Who do you want to go to next?
We'll go to the Calder Cannons. We'll stick west of the Westgate Bridge. I think Kyla Forbes is the obvious one here. We've obviously gone out and done a content session with them. The one that's a little bit left field that I just want to put on the radar as one to watch is Ava Gerarda. She's just got some size. She's got a really good boot. She's got some leadership about her, and she showed when she was played in her natural position last year that she was able to do it really well after being thrown around a little bit. She settled late in the season, and I think she's one that could surprise a few people. I think getting a Metro trial, and then from there, you never know. Obviously, they've got others around those girls as well, and a good crop of bottom ages led by Shauna McGallagher, who hit the scoreboard really well towards the back end of last season.
Chloe Baker West.
Yeah, well, yeah, and Jay McClay. Yeah, yeah.
They've probably got an underrated team, I think. I think it's just their top-end talent compared to what they had last year is probably just a little bit less, but they've still got a very competitive team. Kyla Forbes, Amelia Wright, Maddie Albrecht, some others to list off. So,
and Maddie Albrecht, we should touch on how well she went at the preseason testing. People at Calder always say she has to be the quickest in the talent league. I think she tested second quickest or something like that. But to be as quick as she is and then use it as effectively as she does on the ground is not something to be sneezed at. Where do you have them finishing?
Fourth. Should I mention the Metro have a wild card this year? Like, really weirdly, the girls have to go through a... Or is that boys? Now I'm confusing myself. No, the boys, sorry. The boys have to go through a wild card, which is different, and I'm not sure why. It could be the girls. I'm confusing myself here, but it means anyone's in with a chance, pretty much. So I think they finish fourth.
I think they finish fourth as well, and, yeah, really keen to see what we see from them. Let's go to the Oakley Chargers now. They've got... Sienna Talariti, who got best on ground in the grand final last year, that's going to really headline their team. But they've got so much talent. They've got Emma McDonald up forward, who I know you've been a real fan of. They've got so much, that midfield mix as well.
Sarah Power, Jacinta Baxter.
Emily Gladman.
I mean, you. This is the reigning premiers we're talking about here. It's just they're stacked. I just wonder if the... You know, it's like Collingwood. Is the hunger still there? Yeah. Is the hunger still there with them to win another premiership? They'll definitely be one of the best. And we saw a bit of them last Saturday, or two Saturdays ago now, against Sandy in a practice match. And, Emma McDonald was putting up the same type of numbers. Just a great contested mark. She'd be in my top five in this draft in terms of probably one of the best key forwards easily. Do you still have them finishing first again?
I have them finishing second in the Metro Conference. They had a strong suite of bottom ages playing in that grand final as well, and they've got Amy Carris-Brett returning. She'll link up with Essendon VFL at some point, but that's something else to note. Where do you have them finishing?
Oh, it's very tough. I'd have to agree with you and say second. This is not comparing the draw of Eastern and Oakley, to be honest. So I think whoever has the more comfortable draw there, because they'll win most of their games. So that's for them.
We'll move on to the Eastern Rangers. Now they've got, if Oakley don't have the most talented list on paper, then I think that belongs to the Eastern Rangers, who had a lot of girls drafted last year, which is a testament to the program. They've got a new coach in Jared Donda, although he has been around the Eastern Rangers previously. Mm-hmm. So he's not completely foreign to the environment. And from all reports, he settled in really nicely. So looking forward to seeing what they produce. And it's not just the top age talent this year either. Taylor McMillan was such a star last year as a double bottom age. So you think she's only going to build on that?
Yeah, well, again, saw them out last Tuesday at Seaford, and I don't think I said the score before. It's because I don't know what the score was. There was no scoreboard there, but it was 16-14, Dandenong at halftime. So if that helps anyone, the point is those two are very even. I'll touch on Grace Bellany in her game. Tough up forward, and her along with Georgia Brisbane, I think that duo will be pretty formidable as the season goes on. But I think there's still the need for a bit of polish when she does get it, when the ball does go to ground. That's probably her next step, because I think she'll kick goals, but just that next step and when she picks it up probably needs a little bit of improvement.
I'm going to make a statement. You mentioned Georgie Brisbane there. I'm sure you'll touch on her a little bit more. A very good leader, by the way. I think Georgie Brisbane is the second best contested mark in the Coates Talent League behind Ash Centra, so I've got her ahead of Emma McDonald. I don't know if that's controversial for you, but I love watching her run and launch at the footy at her best.
I don't know. I don't think it's controversial. They're top three, regardless, to be honest. McMillan, like you said, she's already could be in their top five as a bottom major, just neat, composed, aggressive as well. So, you know, a lot of these Eastern girls are very aggressive, love to take the game on. Grace Bubba created her own space on that half-back line. That's probably the main style of her game she'll be taking on this year. She just looks a lot more composed, and compared to last year where it's just kind of get it and move it on, assesses, looks up and kind of creates her own movement left and right. Stacia Stevenson worked really well offensively last week, like the way she was running and reads the play really, really, really well, just a good runner in general. Evie Parker was using her running as well. She's one of their best runners, and on the win I think we'll see that a lot. Probably didn't get as much of the ball as she would have liked, but you see her work rate off the ball, which I think is quite impressive with her as well. Georgie Brisbane won't play, I'm pretty sure they won't play this week, but she'll be back for the academy game.
Very good. Well summed up. You have them finishing
first.
As do I. So
Northern.
Northern Knights are the last team to touch on, and I'll let you kick it off, but I think their midfield is very underrated. I think, they're not a team to be taken lightly, that's for sure. And Talia Plunkett, go to our socials to see some content about her.
Yeah.
And you will see how highly we rate her. We spoke about her in that Metro podcast that we talked about before. But what are you looking forward to seeing from the Knights?
It's easily the Hargreaves girls. They caught my eye last year, and I expect them to catch my eye again this year. Zoe, really classy as an inside mid, and just works really, really well in transition. I can open up the play, but also provides a lot of defensive pressure. Phoebe, similar, but generates a lot more clearance from the stoppages and reads the play really well. So those two are definitely on the top of my list. I'm very interested to see where Northern do end up. Holly Ride would another one in that conversation as well.
Let's go to our tips now. So we've both got Northern finishing fifth.
Yes. Leading goal kicker.
Emma McDonald.
Emma McDonald. Runners up.
Runners up will be Dandenong.
Oakley.
Okay.
Premiers.
Eastern.
Eastern. But it's East. Eastern or Dandenong. I'd expect Dandenong. This is the hard thing with Dandenong, right? And if they win a premiership, they win a premiership, right? They have to go through Eastern or Oakley to win a prelim.
Yeah.
To get to the granny or Sandy. Like, they've got to go through hot, top metro teams to make the granny. So if they win it, they really win it. I just think it's always – it's just Like, that's two really hard games Dandenong have to get through, and that's why I just don't see them winning at all. But they'll be in the prelims, I'd expect. So Eastern win it for me this year. And they get revenge in my granny at the very least. But that wraps it up. Oh, tips, sorry. Tips.
We do have to give our tips for tips this week.
So Calder Northern. I'll be at this one.
I'll be tipping Northern for this one.
I'll be tipping Calder for this one. Sandy Eastern at RSEA. A great test for Sandy early on, and there's an upset on the cards here, but not yet. Eastern do it.
Eastern do it.
Tassie and Oakley in Tasmania, which is very odd given the boys are playing at Craigieburn later that day, so I'm not sure what's happened there, but Oakley.
Yeah, agree.
But Tassie took them up to it last time, and we both tipped it on last week, so we're 1-1 at this point in time. But thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week to wrap up the first round of the girls, which won't be too much, but we'll be previewing the second week of girls action as well. So thank you all for watching. Stay tuned for more content in our socials, and we'll see you in the next episode.